So our last speaker for this little session is Franceline Paradis. So her title is Class-Specific Histone Deacetylase Inhibitors Have Differential Adverse Effects on Chondrogenesis and Early Osteogenesis in Marine Limb Buds in Vitro.
Thank you. So first, I would like to thank the organizers for allowing me to present my recent results. And then I'd like to thank everybody that is still here without leaving because of all the technical issues. So today I'm going to talk to you about my recent results about the effect of class-specific histone deacetylase inhibitor on chondrogenesis and osteogenesis. So first, why do we study the limb? So in vitro limb bud culture system has been used as a model of organogenesis for about 30 years. And the reason for that is that the four limbs develop in vitro in a three-dimensional manner along three major axes, the anterior posterior, proximal distal, as well as dorsal ventral. And all the pathways that are involved in the definition of these three axes are conserved morphogenetic signaling pathways that are also involved in the formation of other organs. Also, it has been shown that these limbs develop cartilage and bone matrix in this in vitro culture system, which really shows that progenitors from different lineages differentiate in their respective lineages in that model. Therefore, this model combines both the advantages of an in vitro model while preserving the complexity of cell-cell interaction as well as organ formation. Therefore, it's a really good model to study mechanisms that are involved in development and also mechanisms that lead to abnormal development. One mechanism that we are interested in my lab is histone deacetylase inhibition. So histone deacetylases, or HDAC, are traditionally known for their effect on the histone tail. So they're responsible for the removal of the acyl groups from the histone tail, which leads to compaction of the DNA and a repressed transcription. However, they have been shown more recently to also interact with non-histone protein target. And by modulating the acylation status of these proteins, it leads to modulation of their protein-protein interaction, transcriptional activation, DNA binding ability, as well as protein stability, and so on and so forth. Therefore, you can imagine that inhibiting these enzymes can have drastic effect on both gene expression and cellular signaling. So HDACs are divided in different classes depending on their sequence homology and nuclear localization, among other things. So class 1 and 2 and 4 are contain the HDAC 1 to 11 and are known to be zinc dependent and are more traditionally known as the traditional HDACs, whereas class 3 are NAD plus dependent and are commonly referred as the sirtuins. So these are a very drastic difference between the different HDAC classes. And these enzymes have been shown to be targeted by different developmental toxicants, and one of them is valproic acid. So valproic acid, or VPA, is a very commonly used anticonvulsant and antidepressant that has also been shown to have anti-cancer property. But it has also been shown to be teratogenic and cause neural tube defects, as well as severe skeletal malformations when it's taken during pregnancy. Actually, 11% of children exposed in utero to valproic acid will develop congenital malformations, as opposed to 1-2% in the general population. And although it has been known to cause these effects for several decades, its exact mechanism of action is still unresolved. However, as I mentioned, it is an inhibitor of histone deacetylases, so it specifically inhibits class 1 and 2 of HDACs without inhibiting the class 3. We have also shown in a previous study that this inhibition of HDAC was correlated with drastic effect on bone formation. So bone formation occurs through a process called endochondral ossification that, as the name suggests, requires the formation of a cartilage template that is later replaced by bone matrix. So first, proliferative chondrocytes lay down the cartilage templates and express the SUX9 transcription factor family, which ultimately leads to the expression of collagen 2A1, which is a very important extracellular matrix protein. Then these proliferative chondrocytes undergo hypertrophy and starts expressing the RUNX2 transcription factor, which ultimately leads to the expression of collagen 10A1. Then afterwards, these chondrocytes undergo apoptosis, which then leaves space for the astrocytes to differentiate and starts expressing collagen 1A1 and deposit the bone matrix. As I mentioned, in a previous study, we have shown that VPA downregulated several of these genes at the gene level. However, has VPA, as I mentioned, is a non-specific inhibitor of HDAC, we want to further address the role of each one of the classes in these effects. Therefore, we hypothesize that different HDAC classes have different role in chondrogenesis and osteogenesis. And to test this hypothesis, we wanted to compare the effects of VPA and HDAC class-specific inhibitor on these processes. So to do so, we use three inhibitors. So MS275 inhibits class 1, whereas MC1568 inhibits class 2, and sirtuinyl inhibits the sirtuin 2 of the member of the sirtuins family. Also, to readily assess the effect of these compounds on chondrogenesis and osteogenesis, we use a triple transgenic reporter mice that express three different collagens that are tagged with fluorescent protein. So the proliferative chondrocyte marker collagen 2A1 is tagged to cyan fluorescent protein and is here shown in blue, whereas the hypertrophic chondrocyte marker collagen 10 is tagged with mCherry and seen in red, and the osteocyte marker collagen 1 is tagged with yellow fluorescent protein that gives that greenish signal. So then we use these transgenic mice in our in vitro limb bud culture system. So briefly, time-pregnant CD1 mice were euthanized on gestation day 12. The embryo were explanted, and CFP-positive embryos were selected. Then embryonic forelimbs were excised and cultured in a medium containing either vehicle or all these different drugs. Limbs were cultured for 6 days, and pictures were taken on a fluorescent stereomicroscope on day 1, 3, and 6. So first we wanted to look at VPA-exposed embryos. And what we observed is that after 1 day in culture, there was a drastic decrease in collagen 1 expression in VPA-treated limbs, as you can see here. So the control exhibit perfect differentiation of the 5 digits with the presence of serial phalanges, whereas in the VPA-treated limb, we can see that already the digital condensations are completely missing. These differences were also observed after 3 days and remain up to 6 days in culture. Next, when we look at the hypertrophic chondrocyte marker and the osteocyte marker, what we observe is that VPA, again, significantly downregulated these two markers, which altogether suggests that VPA does inhibit chondrogenesis and osteogenesis. Now we want to further divide this in the class-specific effects. So we look at MS275 to start. And we observed very similar results as we had seen previously in the VPA-treated limbs. So after 24-hour in culture, several digits are missing, and there's a drastic decrease in global collagen 2 staining, whereas and that difference was shown after 3 and 6 days. And the two, and we can see that hypertrophy and osteocyte differentiations were also affected by that class 1 inhibitor. In very vivid contrast, class 2 inhibition did not cause any significant effect on the chondrocytes. So as you can see, both at 24 hours, 3 days, and 6 days, these limbs are not different from the control. However, we did see some differences in hypertrophy and osteocyte differentiation. Again, in a completely different phenotype was observed following class 3 inhibition, as after 24 hours we didn't see any changes from the controls, and after three days in culture we can see the presence of phalanges and the digital array. However, after 6 days in culture there was a complete regression, and almost no collagen 2 was observed. And then again, the hypertrophy marker and the osteocyte markers were also completely absent from these sirtuinyl exposed limbs, which altogether suggests that sirtuinyl is just completely cytotoxic to the whole limb without any specificity. So altogether, what we have shown is that VPA inhibits both chondrogenesis and osteogenesis, as we had previously seen at the gene expression level. Also, We provide first evidence that the class 1 specific inhibitor also inhibits chondrogenesis and seems to be mostly responsible for the VPA-mediated inhibition of that process. Also, both class 1 and class 2 inhibited osteogenesis, and class 3 seems to have just non-specific cytotoxicity towards the whole limb cell population. However, more studies are needed to look at upstream mechanisms, so to see if succinyl is involved in the class 1 mediated effect on chondrogenesis and RUNX2 in the osteogenesis. Also, much studies are remains to be done in order to address what is going on in the sirtuin treated limbs. With that, I would like to thank my whole lab of the Hells and Roberts lab and our collaborator, David Butler, and Dr. Roy for providing the triple transgenic mice and funding. Thank you.
Thank you for the nice talk. We have time for a few questions.
Hey, friends. Great talk, as always.
Thank you.
So I'm just curious, do you always see these defects in your limb bud culture? Like in all of the cultures that you do you always get the same sort of deformations?
I'm not sure I understand. Like drug treated?
Yeah, so every time you treat your limb bud cultures with your drug, with every treatment, do you always see these defects? Because I'm asking for a greater, like a bigger question, because you don't always, for every woman who takes valproic acid, she doesn't always have a child with deformations. So I'm just wondering if you see this all the time in your cultures. Do you always see the deformations?
Yes. The advantage of in vitro culture is that the medium, like the conditions are like very tightly regulated. Mm-hmm. Also, the human embryo is surprisingly very resistant to teratogen action. So even in cases of very highly teratogenic drugs like thalidomide or erythroic acid, we never reach 100% malformation in humans. So it's always like an increased risk, but mm-hmm. never 100%. But yes, I do see these defects.
So if you're seeing them every time, does that maybe bring into question whether or not you're actually perturbing the same mechanism in culture as you would in vitro? Or in vivo, sorry?
I think that possibly the same mechanisms are triggered, except that perhaps humans have developed ways to deal with these disrupted mechanisms better.
Okay. Because you've never treated a pregnant dam with VPA, have you?
No, but other people have done it earlier on, and they've seen skeletal defects, rib defects, vertebrae misalignment defects. Okay. So there's a whole range.
Do they
range.
Always see it?
No,
okay, so
not
it depends.
Yeah, it's okay. Always like has an increased risk.
Okay.